Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back. So we'll hear from Leona Maguire before 8 o'clock and then Keith and Matt Williams will talk us through the rugby. Actually, someone tweeted in on the rugby. I lived in Oz for 2 years. Rugby union way down the pecking order now, lads. Only time it got any bit of coverage when I was over there was the Lions tour in 2013. Rugby league by far more popular. State of origin is huge. Yeah, it certainly ties in what we're hearing. So the top 100 earners were listed today by Forbes. Mayweather was number one, $375 million. That's between June 17 and June 18, obviously. So he's miles ahead of everyone. I mean, Mayweather's just off the charts here. In second place, you have Messi, and he's well back. So you've got Mayweather 375. Messi is 146. So effectively, you know, more than half of what Mayweather's picking up. So it's Messi in second, and then it's Ronaldo in third. Ronaldo's pulling in $4 million less than Messi.
You won't like that.
That kills him. $142 million to Ronaldo is nothing when it's $4 million less than Messi. And then Conor McGregor, in this crazy world we're living in, is number four in the world. $112 million, courtesy of
that
the...
That is beyond...
Mayweather fight.
I was watching a Michael Moore documentary there not that long ago where he was talking about when they shifted in America towards a kind of a low tax model.
Right.
And I do look at, you know, back in the day when I think the Beatles might have at one stage been paying like 90% tax or something like that. And one of the arguments about that is it deters the employer from actually paying. Why would you pay it if it's going? So it's just obscene money. Like,
it's hard to even get your head around. Neymar, for the record, is fifth with 118 million. And then elsewhere, LeBron is the highest paid basketball player. So he's in sixth. He's just behind Neymar. He's getting 112. Roger Federer is the highest with tennis. He's sixth. He's 102. The highest NFL player is Matt Ryan for the Falcons. He's getting 88. Lewis Hamilton's the highest in F1. He's getting 67. Tiger Woods, of his 57 million, 55 of it is through endorsements. And the other headline news was not a single woman in the top 100. Serena Williams just outside it.
I'm very surprised at that.
Yeah. I was surprised too, actually. So that's where we are in the Forbes top 100. You're a man who knows his racing. So I was going to ask you for the next couple of minutes about the money in racing. I've no real sense of it. If you told me they were earning millions and millions, I'd believe it. If you told me they were just getting by and would have to all work after they retire, I would believe that too. And maybe that it is a cross section in racing more than other sports.
I think the reason, like the Sean Maguire thing, for example, people would be wondering how much is Sean on and pressing and all that. And it's like, I remember Richie Sadler spoke about this before, where he was like, I was always thinking, like, if you're on 60 grand a week, why would you care about being on 65? But it's actually, well, I do care if the guy beside me is on 70 and I think I'm better than him. And that was Richie's basic point. I was like, okay, I kind of see where you're coming from. But that doesn't really exist in racing because everyone gets kind of paid the same. So it's very egalitarian in that sense. And what happens is if you win your race, you get 10% of the prize money, less a small percentage, I think, which goes to kind of workers in the game, but you actually get a riding fee just for riding the horse. That's, I think it's €157.
So if you turn up and Ruby Walsh turns up and you're a professional, you're both getting 157 quid, give or take, or whatever it is, just for riding that race.
Yeah, notwithstanding if Ruby has a separate arrangement, I'm not sure if he has, but if you were to look at jockeys who are riding, like Andrew Lynch would have, what would he have a year? Like he would have 500 rides a year, maybe something like that. Mm. You know, he's getting 157 per. So basically, you can earn quite a decent wage. And then Tony McCoy would surely have been on a retainer with JP McManus, and I presume Barry Geraghty as well. That's fine. You know, that was a kind of a lucrative, like high profile job.
The percentage of jockeys who were on retainers
would be very small.
Would it?
I'd be like pittance.
A handful. Okay.
So
you can almost discount them from the median talk.
You can, yeah. So the median talk. So if you're, say, there are a lot of jockeys in Ireland who are struggling. Like they, you know, they can't really get winners, but they're not really struggling financially.
Right.
Now the flip side of that is it's a bloody tough game. You know, you're up really early. You're doing a lot of travelling if you're particularly freelance. It's extremely dangerous. Mm. You know, like it's probably the only sport where an ambulance follows you around in your combat, and you're going to break a lot of bones. You may well lose your life.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking JT McNamara, Kieran Kelly, thinking Sean Cleary. And obviously, if you're paralysed from the neck down, like befall so many of them, your life is suffering an awful lot. But in terms of the actual money you make and for how healthy it is as a pursuit, it's actually a decent job. Mm. But as you mentioned earlier, if you're one of the staff in racing, you work horrible hours for bad money, very bad money. And the only reason they do it, in my view, is because they kind of can't see the wood from the trees, in the sense that horses is all they know. And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
They love horses.
They love horses. They love working with horses, and they're often ill-educated.
Mm. So it's a, I guess it's almost a vocation. They love being around horses. They want to see the horses do well. They want to see the stable do well. Money is not their primary objective.
No, it's not. You know, and it's a tricky one for me, we'll say, as a racing journalist. Like, I would be all for the welfare of the stable staff, because I think they're literally indispensable. Like, they'll often go to like a race meeting and they'll be charged like $2.50 for, like, you know, a bad sandwich, and like they just get kind of they don't get I don't think they're properly represented, being honest with you, in Ireland. I think the Irish Stable Staff Association really could do a better job.
Right.
And I think a lot of stable staff will tell you that.
Funny you mentioned the price of a crap cup of coffee or a crap sandwich. I see that on Twitter quite a bit, actually, from jockeys or staff, just highlighting how poor that aspect of things is at Irish racecourses.
And bear in mind now, these racecourses are getting like sort of 30, 40 grand a meeting on TV rights money alone. And in fact, it's a lot more than that in some cases. So they are getting plenty of money. And the thing about the problem with it, though, in terms of stable staff, and Ruby Walsh actually called for, before, some of the TV rights money to go into or to go to stable staff. The problem for trainers in terms of paying wages is that trainers really aren't making money. Like,
well, I was going to say, so aside from, I suppose, I mean, Mullins seems to be open to anyone. So, you know, any kind of syndicate, the, you know, lads who pool their money together, and also very wealthy owners, Mullins is open to working with both, and he's doing very well. And then you've Gordon Elliott as well, who might be more towards the wealthy owner side of things. Beyond those two, what's the general health of things for Irish trainers?
Well, strangely enough, Gordon's actually significantly cheaper training fees than Willie.
Right.
Now, obviously, you'll recall that Willie's...
The Ryanair thing. Michael O'Leary thing.
Still have slight reservations about whether it was the £5, I think it was a €5 a day increase being the actual reason for the split, but that's for another day. But Gordon is significantly less expensive. And I actually sent a horse to Willie Mullins lately, and I was like, have I budgeted for this at all? He's expensive. He's very expensive.
He's very good.
He's unbelievably good.
Yeah.
And I just kind of wanted, I was involved with a horse before, and the horse was no good. Like, so I wanted to see what the crack would be, and hopefully you'd get the reward out of it. But Gordon would make a more compelling case in terms of how good he is, and he's less expensive. But then you go to the lads who are like €30 a day, and that's just not economical. And, you know, a lot of the trainers want it to be brought in that...
As in €30 a day is not economical from their point of view?
Not at all. It's just not economical. I can't really get into it, but in terms of the cost of bedding and feed and, you know, basically housing the horses and paying staff, and it's not economical. And a lot of trainers, like, I'd say 90% of trainers are basically making nothing. Like, And that puts a lot of emphasis on maybe landing a gamble here and there as well. And, you know, I guess a lot of them are under pressure, but it basically means the long and the short of it is they're not going to be paying their staff very much.
Okay.
And
has it always been thus?
Yeah, pretty much. Although there are now so many, like, there are 370 odd trainers thereabouts. They say there are about 20,000 people employed in the racing industry in some shape or form. Now, Horse Racing Ireland will usually put the bright side up with those figures, but there are a huge number of staff. And in fairness, they're key to rural Ireland because, you know, we're caught in a Dublin bubble much of the time.
Yeah.
And if you go to much of rural Ireland, it's still in recession, really. There's been no... I mean, if you look at house prices in certain parts of Ireland, they really haven't gone up at all. Like, if they've gone up, it's kind of a pittance. So if you have a stable... If you have a yard, like in... Say, Pat Kelly has a yard in East Galway, and, you know, if you look at the yards in Kilkenny, Carlow, lots of yards in sort of even in the Midlands, Tipperary, they're really, really vital for that local area. But the staff... Are staff going to keep And this is another point, actually. Aidan O'Brien gets kind of gets mocked because after race he'll say, listen, thanks to Pat and Alan at home who look after him. Mm. And they're like, oh, here we go, blah, blah, blah. He wants them to be recognised, though. He wants to laud them publicly because he knows it's very bloody hard to get staff. And there's another problem. Down the line, humans are getting taller. So jockeys are going to be getting less and less plentiful in Ireland. And in America now, most jockeys are Latin American because I think they're actually genetically a little bit smaller. Mm. This is going to be a problem as well. But by God, we're going to have a problem with staff. I mean, and the beauty of racing is about half the staff are girls or women. And I think that's fantastic. I think racing never gets the credit it deserves for how women are just so pivotal to the sport. Mm. But as they get better educated, it's not going to be life that's going to... It's the biggest problem for racing going forward or going backwards.
Right.
To kind of clash with the buzzword is going to get to be getting staff. Mm. Not so much jockeys, I think. I think jockeys will be fine, and we still love racing in this country, but staff do horrible hours for bad money and they're poorly represented in terms of union.
Okay, very interesting. Evening, lads. Who's the champ talking about Denman? Late to the show, he's good. That is Johnny Ward, who we've just finished talking to now. Johnny, thanks a million for coming in.
Who's the champ? Thanks
who's,
to
who's
whatever.
The chap.
I was like, thanks to whatever
chap.
Member of my family sent that in.
Not but, champ.
Rest in peace, Denman.
Yeah. Thanks a million for coming in. Appreciate it.
Not at all, anytime.
We're talking to Leona Maguire next, who's been the outstanding amateur over the last number of years, and she's turning professional. So Leona Maguire is on the way next.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.